The flesh is like that. The flesh is attracted to things. The flesh wants things that it shouldn't have. And if you allow your flesh to control you, it'll go not only avoid the sticks, it'll go towards the sticks. It'll be attracted to the things that will turn around and bring poison into our soul. And so what we need God to do is help us to see these poisons, the works of the flesh, the things that our heart craves and desires, see them for what they are. It's something that'll poison us, something that'll pull us away, something that'll hinder God's work in our life. It's sort of like a cancer. If you think about it that way, cancer is something that's on the inside of our body, and it works to destroy us. It works to break down our body. And it ultimately, if you don't deal with cancer, it will kill you. And the flesh is like that. The flesh will continue to eat away, and it will destroy you. And it will destroy you all the way to the point that if you don't deal with it, listen, if you don't deal with it, if you don't cut it out, if you don't remove this cancer from you, then it will destroy you. And the flesh is like that. There are things that we get attracted to. There are things that we desire. There are things that we start craving and we're hungry for. That's what lust is. Lust is to crave. It means to desire. But lusting after the things of the flesh, or the things the flesh desires, are sinful lusts, and craving the things that we shouldn't crave. And those are the things that attach themselves to us and inject poison into our bodies and will eventually destroy our soul. They will destroy our lives. And what we need to do is acknowledge that God is wanting to work in us to remove those things, to cut them out, to destroy them, to let them go, to let them go. And that's what we see in our passage. We have Paul and Silas who are in the ministry, and they're just going about the region, and they're ministering here and they're ministering there, and they're delivering the message of the apostles from Jerusalem that salvation is by faith and is by grace through faith, and that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And he's delivering this message. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do these Jewish ceremonies or rituals to be saved. And he's going about and he's delivering that message to all the churches in the region. Then he lands in Lystra and meets this young man named Timothy. Now, Timothy was an upright young man. He was a man with a great testimony. And I'll just say this, that Timothy was the kind of young man that impressed Paul. He was a very impressive young man. And so that Paul encountered Timothy and was rubbing shoulders with him, and they were ministering to the church there in Lystra, Paul decided this was the kind of person that I want to minister along with. Honestly, to be honest, it reminds me of the time when we met at the wedding and we were at dinner there. And the Stuces were there, and this was before he was on the radar to become assistant to in the church here and to begin to lead ministry and be full-time in the ministry here. But we met each other, and I wasn't thinking along those lines, but I was thinking this, man, it would be neat if, you know, the Stuces would be on staff with us someday. You know, it was maybe in the back of my mind, but certainly a thought would have been there. I think Paul would have been maybe seeing Timothy that way and maybe having lunch or in a meal or fellowship together and just being impressed with him and thinking, this is somebody I would like to minister with. And so he would have made that invitation. He would have came to Timothy and would have wanted him to become a part of the ministry. Now I want you to see that. Look at verse number 1. Check with me here. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. This is Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now this is an important part of the narrative here, because Timothy would have been half Jewish, but he would have been half Greek. Now, it does say in verse number 2 that he had a good reputation. He was well reported of, so his testimony was really good with the brethren, with the church, and also those that were at Lystra, just in the community itself. So he would have had a great testimony. That's what attracted Paul to him in the first place. But it says that he was a Jew in the sense that his mother was Jewish and his father was a Greek. So he was half Jew and he would have been half Gentile in that sense. But because his mother was a Jew, any Jew that Paul would have ministered to, and Timothy would have been along with Paul in the ministry, any Jew that they sought to minister to would have seen Timothy as a Jew. The reason why was because his mother was a Jew. And so the lineage would have carried on in through that, you know, the seed of his mother into his, into Timothy. And so Timothy would have been considered a Jewish young man. Now, why is that significant? Why? Because when Paul in the ministry would have went to the regions where he would have sought to minister and, you know, try to preach the gospel and lead people to the Lord, right, for the sake of Christ. Remember where Paul would always go first? He would go to the synagogue. He would always go to the synagogue and he would preach to the Jews and he would give the gospel to them. Now, any Jew that would have known that Paul and Silas were ministering and preaching the word, if Timothy would have not have followed through with some of what would have made Timothy Jewish in his stand, like to become circumcised, then it would have hindered any of the ministry that Paul would have sought to do in his journeys with Paul and Silas if Timothy was with them. And so because Paul wanted Timothy to come along and minister shoulder to shoulder, that meant that Timothy would need to take this step of becoming circumcised so that he might become a Jew in that sense, in the eyes of any Jewish person they would have wanted to minister to. And this seems almost like hypocritical, or like there's something wrong with Paul asking Timothy to do this based on what we just studied in chapter 15. Remember in chapter 15, they concluded that Gentiles would not need to be circumcised to become believers or to be saved. There wouldn't be a need for a Gentile to become a Jew to be saved. As a matter of fact, we understand that there is no need for any person to go through a Jewish ceremony to confirm salvation. So you don't need to do anything Jewish, non-Jew. You don't have to go through any ceremony to be saved. You don't need to do that. What you need is to hear the gospel, like we said this morning, and you need to be touched by the Holy Spirit by the work of conviction in your soul. By the way, he convicts anybody who hears the word of God. And you know you need to be saved because the Spirit is speaking to your heart. And then you make a decision through belief to turn your heart to Christ and ask him for salvation. And that's what repentance looks like. Turning your heart to him in salvation. There's nothing more that needs to take place. And that's what the issue in chapter 15 would have been. That's what they were dealing with. Do you need to become a Jew to be saved? The answer to that question is no. You don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to go through these ceremonies. You don't need to go through these rituals so that you can be saved. And that would have been the message that he continued to declare and why the book of Galatians was written in the first place. But that's not the issue that we're dealing with here. What they're dealing with here is not related to salvation, but it's related to his ability to minister to people. They would have wanted to minister to the Jews. And so because they wanted to minister to the Jews, and Timothy was considered a Jew, but he wasn't circumcised, this would have hindered the ministry if he wouldn't have went through and confirmed his Jewish lineage by becoming circumcised. I want you to see that. Look at verse number 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So Paul then took Timothy and went through with this ceremony. Circumcision, listen, I'm not going to get graphic here, but it's just a cutting away of skin on the private parts of a boy. And that's what it means. You know, and we don't have to be any more graphic than that, but that's what it is. Circumcision is it's a cutting of way. And what it does is it differentiates, and the reason why God instituted this in the Old Testament is it differentiated the nation of God's people from all the other nations of this world. And that anyone who's born into this world through the seed of the Jewish nation would have been considered in the eyes of God as God's people. And that's what circumcision, it separated them. Now, we understand that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the circumcision of the heart. And what God does is he differentiates you and I from this world in the same manner, but because of Jesus. We're different than this world because of Christ. Amen. And so it's a picture of what God would ultimately do in Jesus. And that's why this is instituted. God's people are to be different, not to be like this world, not to act like this world, not to look like this world. And really, It's all the way down to the level of, you know, our children who come into this world. And so that's the picture. It's a cutting away. It's to say that we're going to change, we're going to make this difference, and we're going to be different, and things aren't going to be the same. Now, Timothy would have needed to take this step to move forward and minister along with Paul. He would have needed to do that. Now, that might have been, you know, there's no indication here that Timothy struggled with this decision. There's no indication here that Timothy, you know, argued with Paul and said, well, you know, I don't know if we really need to do this. You know, I don't really know if this is something that we need to follow through with. I think that I can minister and do a pretty good job and just not have to do this, you know, go through with this ceremony, go through with this, you know, this issue that needs to take place, you know. But Paul says, no. If you want to minister and you want to be effective in this ministry, then you're going to need to submit yourself to this process. And you're going to need to allow that this takes place so that you can minister to the people that we're going to minister to. Now, that might have been a difficult decision for him to make. But we don't know that. But here's what we do know. That sometimes God wants us to make some changes in our life. And we do have a hard time with it. We might look at this and think, just kind of read over it and think, oh, he went through with this and no big deal, right? Oh, it's kind of a big deal and it needs to be done so he can minister and be effective, you know? You're like, hey, Pastor, do we really have to talk about this tonight? Listen, I think it needs to be talked about. As weird of talking about this is, you know. But even though we don't see Timothy struggling here, here's what we can know. We struggle. When God is saying here to us, you need to get some things out of your life. You need to make some changes. You need to let some things go. Because if you don't, you can keep coming and you can keep ministering and God will keep working because God blesses. Isn't that amazing too, by the way? That we can be wrong and really not where we need to be, but God still blesses us? That's amazing how good he is to us. But he says, listen, it's not as good as it could be. If you will allow me to make these changes in your life, then you won't be hindered in these ways. Amen. The ministry won't be hindered.
Amen.
And we'll be able to move forward. You, as good as you think it might be now, wait until you see what God, this is what God says. Wait until you see what I'm going to do when you get this out of the way. Because the days ahead and the future and what God's going to do through you as you're going to minister, and you let me make these changes in your life, watch out. I mean, watch out, world. Watch out, devil, because God is going to work. And people's lives are going to be touched. And God's going to change lives. I love that song, God's Word Changes Lives. And God's going to use you as like a living word and a light that shines. It's set on a hill and it's not covered up. But what we're doing is we're shining as a light. And people are going to see your testimony. And they're going to glorify God because of what you've decided to do for him. I'm like, oh man, this is a hard change. This is a difficult thing. I'm not sure I want to follow through with this. This is uncomfortable. Maybe we could say it that way. This is uncomfortable. I'm not really wanting this to take place. But God says, no, you let me work. You let me do this change in your life. You let me work in you in this way. And you, if you do this, if you go ahead and release, and you go ahead and give this to me, if you go ahead and turn this over to me, if you go ahead and let this thing go. It's amazing that I can spit on the front row all the way from up here. Sorry about that. If you let this go, then you just wait and see what I'm going to do through you. And the hindrance is gone and watch God work.
Amen.
I mean, that's what we're seeing here. Look at our next verse. Verse number 4. And as they went through the city. So now it's the decision is made. I mean, Timothy was, he said, you know, if this needs to happen so that we can move forward and there's no hindrances and the ministry is going to go forward and the light is going to shine bright and we're going to touch people's lives, then I'm going to do it. In verse number 4, they went forth to the cities and look what happens. They delivered unto them the decrees for to keep. So they're delivering the message that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so the churches were, what's that next word? The churches established. Established in the faith. Established, I'm like firm, infirmed. It's like affirmed, and God strengthens and grows the church because God's people decided that we're going to let some things go. We're going to make some changes. We're going to do the uncomfortable thing. We're going to let God do His work, and then the hindrances are removed, and God's word, it really shines brighter. You know, I mean, God's word shines bright anyway, right? I mean, you could be wrong with God and teach and preach God's word and deliver God's word, and God's word shines bright despite us, which is amazing to me. But what if we let God change our life and move into us, and then His light shines through us so that the word of God has more power and it has more fervor and has more strength? Why? Because the word of God is working in tandem with your spirit. Because you've decided to let God move you and change you and cut some things out of your life and remove some things, and as uncomfortable as it is, and as much as you don't want to follow through with it because, you know, you don't want to make these changes. I just want to hold on to these things. And we also know that because some of us, we've held on to these things for a while, and we have been able to minister in some ways, and, you know, it's kind of working out okay, but it's not what it could be. It's not what God wants it to be. God's wanting us to trust Him. So that if we would just let Him work in us in this way, so that we'll go ahead and decide tonight, I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to lay it at the altar. I'm going to let God have it. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to turn it loose. I'm going to cut it out of my life. I'm going to decide that I'm going to remove the hindrances. I'm going to let it go. Amen. I'm struggling with this. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we can probably all relate to that. Yes. I'm struggling with this a little bit. But it might be that you're ready to, you're also at the, you know, it's like you're on two sides of this. You're like, you want to hold on to it, but you want to let it go too. We need to trust God to know that God is working and that He's faithful, and He's faithful to His promises, and that He'll do as He said. And that if He's speaking to you, He knows how things are going to work together. He knows how the puzzle works. He knows how the ministry works. He knows how, If we decide to do this, how things can become more established and better and stronger. I'm like, well, it's pretty strong and I kind of like it like it is. Yeah, yeah. But if you let God have it and you turn it loose and you give it to Him, here's what He says, then I'll make things stronger. I'll establish. I'll do a greater work. And that's what God wants to do through us. Isn't that amazing? He wants to establish you. He wants to establish others through you. As we seek to minister, we said in Sunday school this morning, the stick, you know, stay away from the stick. That, I mean, that's not the title, but it's the subtitle. Stay away from the stick, you know. You see a stick wiggling on the water at Lake Pleasant, stay away from it, you know. And that, you know, that could be a hard decision. And we know that God wants to work in our lives, but we have to decide that we need to stay away from some things. We have to decide that God knows how things are going to work together if we let Him be in control of what we're wanting to hold on to. Just release and give it to the Lord. This is a hard decision, but if we do that, watch, we can turn around and watch what God will do through our lives. We said in that message this morning, there, you know, the flesh can become a poison, and that poison affects your heart. Man, it hurts your heart, doesn't it? It's like that, you know, I'm just going to reteach my Sunday school. You don't have to listen to it later. We're just going to hear it right now. It's like that rotten spaghetti I talked about this morning that I ate, you know, thinking, it's all right. It's been in the incubator, but it was actually in an incubator, you know, creating, you know, moss on it and stuff. The stuff you should not be eating. So I ate that, and it made me sick. You know, while I was eating, it tasted okay. But then later on, it wasn't good after that. And that's how the flesh is. I mean, it looks good, you're hungry, you want it, and you take it in, and what does it do? It poisons your heart. Amen. You feel sick. Amen. And you think this, why did I eat that? I should not have eaten that. That's what poison does. It hurts your heart. But you know what it also does? It hurts your testimony. Because other people see that you're not right. And they can feel it. And you're like, well, I'm pretty good at acting like I'm okay, but people know. They know when you're not right. And it affects people. And so it affects our testimony. And so what we need to do is trust that if we give this to the Lord, God will work in us and He'll work through us so that we'll become a testimony to establish not only in our own heart and in our own lives, but the lives of other people that we're affecting. We have to do this. Brother Joe, we have to do this. We have to do this. Listen, if there's anybody in our church who cannot let the flesh run our lives, it's the leaders of the church. But let's not pretend like we're the only ones that have an effect on the spirit of this church. It's each and every one of us. We're all ministers together. Read Corinthians. He talks there about, you know, saying amen. You know what amen is? It's preaching a sermon. Every time, Brother Jackson, every time you say amen, you're preaching right along with the pastor. So the pastor says, glory to God. And you say, amen. You just said glory to God too. So you're preaching with me. So I'm not the only preacher at this church. I got a whole lot of others, and probably some more of you should be helping too. You know, amen. Let's get an amen to that. So he needs a little bit more help sometimes. We're all together in this. It's not just me. Listen, I need your prayers. Brother Joe needs your prayers. Our families need your prayers. The devil wants to destroy this church, and he'll want to do it from within. We need each other's prayers. And the ministry will be hindered if we don't understand that we need to let some things go. Because if we don't, it'll hinder the work of God.
Yep.
And like, well, I don't really want to. Well, I mean, I think that's the struggle we all have. That's the point.
Right.
We don't want to. And we can continue to hold on to it and minister, but we'll be hindered. We'll be hindered in the work. We'll be hindered in our heart. We'll be hindered in our life as we want to minister and watch God continue to do a great work in our church and through our lives. We'll be hindered. I remember we had dogs when I was little, when I was young, and those dogs hated being in the backyard. I mean, how many of you have a dog that hates being in the house or out in the backyard? So if the door opens, he's like, I'm out. You know, he's looking for that. He's just looking for a way to wiggle out. That's how my dogs were. You just barely open the gate, their head's in there, and they're gone. And then they're just running down the block, and you're like chasing them, and you're thinking, please, car, run over that dog, you know? I mean, help me out here, you know? I mean, run over its leg. Don't kill it, but make it slow down a little bit. That's how my dogs were. They were ready to be free. They're like, we're shackled in these bars. We need to get out into freedom, you know? And that's how they were. And so there are some things that need to be, you know, remain in the cage. They need to be remain in the, not cage, but not a cage, but in the backyard. These dogs need to stay in the backyard. They're safer there. And that's where the real freedom is. And that's how it is for you and me. We need to let God decide what we do and what we don't do. What we're involved with, what we're not involved with, what we give our heart to, and what we need to not give our heart to. I mean, we need to stay in. You need to be careful running out of the gate, giving your heart and moving in this direction because you're in danger. You're in a dangerous place. The devil wants to destroy you, and if he can destroy you, he can destroy your testimony. It'll work its way all the way down to this church and destroy what God wants to do here. And so we need to let God put barriers and boundaries in our life. And then we need to let God decide what that is, and then we just need to decide to stay in there.
Amen.
That wasn't in my notes. I just now thought all that. That was good stuff. But this was in my notes. My brother has a spider, and it's a pet. To me, that's crazy. Like, why would you have... It's a big one, too. Tarantula? I mean, there's only one thing that I can think would be a good thing for a tarantula. You know what I mean? My grandpa, when I was little, I had one of... Remember those three-wheelers, the big wheel on the front, and you're just, like, riding it around? It's like an 80s thing, I think. That was me. Remember? You had... Brother Larry had one. Let's go. So we had, it's like almost like Hot Wheels, you know, just like you're just scooting around. One time Grandpa walked up and I was on my little Hot Wheels three-wheeler and he just picked me straight up like this and just moved me over to the side, sat me down, and then he went like this. And when I went over to Grandpa's shoe, and he had a big shoe, there were spider legs sticking out both sides of his shoe. It was a tarantula, it was big. Now I was small too, so it looked really big. That's what every tarantula should look like. Sticking out the both sides of a shoe. That's what tarantulas should do. And my brother has one as a pet. They need to be released. It needs to be let go. All spiders go to heaven. That's where they need to go. Now, I don't think there's any spiders in heaven. Here's my point. There are some things we need to let it go. You know what it is. God starts pricking our heart. Maybe He has been for a while. And you know you need to let it go. You're struggling with it. God says it's okay. I know what I'm doing. I know. Ooh, watch this. I know the future. Like we were in Oklahoma and we're driving one of those electric cars. Raise your hand if you have an electric car. Is there anybody here? Okay. I drove an electric car for the first time in Oklahoma. And somebody said, what was it like? I felt like I was from the future. I mean, I was like, I'm driving a space car right now. Does this thing even have wheels? I felt like I was floating. It was like, I can't even tell you the sound it was making. It was like, this is what the future feels like. You know, that's what I felt like. Listen, teasing aside, God knows the future. He knows what is going to happen in your life if you trust Him and let this thing go. What He's going to do in your life and how it's going to not only heal, but how it's going to work in you and through you so it'll have an effect in all the things that you touch in your life. Amen. But we have to make a decision. We have to make the decision to let it go. We have to make the decision to turn it over to God, give it to Him, cut it out. As hard, uncomfortable as it might be, give it to Him. Like, so Pastor, can you say a couple of things that'll make me feel a little bit more confident about this? I'll try. And if you decide, listen, we're almost done here. If you decide to let this go, the thing that you're holding on to and you're struggling with, God not only knows the future and how it'll work together, but it'll be better. It'll be better than you even thought. You'll be stronger. The people around you will be stronger. And I can say this with confidence, not because me personally, like I know, but because I believe God and I trust Him. Amen. That if we go ahead and do this, then we'll get to the future, because God knows that, right? And then we'll look back and we'll say this. Man, I'm glad I did that. Because if I didn't do that, we would never be here. And look what God's doing. Look what God has done. Look what God has brought. And I wouldn't sacrifice any of this for that. No, no, no. I believe you, God. I believe you. And so tonight, I want to give it to you. God, I believe you and I trust you and I've been holding on to this and I know I've needed to cut it out. I know I've needed to stop. I know I need to let it go. And I've been holding on to it because it's uncomfortable and I've not trusted and I've not known how it's going to work out. But God, I know that you're wanting me to do this and I know that you know the future and I know that you can make things work together for good. And I know that one day I'm going to get to the future and I'm going to look back and I'm going to think, I'm so glad I did this. And I believe you, God. And because of that, and I know you're working in my heart, I'm going to come to this altar and I'm going to let it go tonight. That's a wise decision and a decision you won't regret. That would be my encouragement for you tonight. That would be my encouragement for you tonight. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness, your faithfulness.